And welcome back to the ring. I, of course, am your host, the one and only Dr. B.O.B. Yes, yes, that's me. And with me, the return of the lawyer of the Dr. Bob Medical Practice. We call it the firm. It's the one and only, and yes, he is able to practice law in the state of Florida, but he is still not going to defend Trump. The one and only Rob the Lawyer. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing well. And, you know, I was going to try to make a pithy comment about Trump, but I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't take him on as a client.
He wouldn't pay you.
That's the problem. All the notoriety in the world and the ensuing bar complaint that comes with it would not be worth the headache.
Right.
Everybody's entitled to a lawyer, but that's what we're taught in law school. But you know, there's thousands of new ones every day, so I'm sure one of them would represent Trump.
There's plenty of passable public defenders out there.
Exactly. They all got to cut their teeth somewhere, so there you go.
So there you go. And come out afterwards and be like, I just had to. It was my job. I'm sorry. Okay, so now that we've ran like three of our five listeners off. No, I doubt that. I don't think you could listen to this show on a regular and be like, yay, Orange Man. Anyway, let's get back to
And they know. I thought you were talking about the whole tangent stuff, but I'm like, they know our tangents. Now you're talking about the orange guy.
Yeah, the Cheeto Jesus.
That name. I've never heard it used before, actually, so that's sticking for me now.
Yeah. Good. That's what a friend of mine started calling him when he first started running back in 2015, was it? Anyway, enough of that. We've got important wrestling news to get to.
Yes.
Let's see. Update on Scam Forever. There, you can now play Fortnite on an AEW wrestling game.
Oh, the concept of the Stadium Stampede, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's appealing, but you know what's not appealing? The fact that WCW did it in a video game, you know, 15, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. WCW Backstage Assault, and it was panned by every wrestling fan out there. Oh, it's not happening in the ring. Oh, it's, you know, I can't remember all the criticism about it, but if you were on message boards back when that game came out, it was completely trash. And it's essentially the same concept of this Stadium Stampede match where you just walk room to room and fight other wrestlers. I mean, that was one of the game types.
Yeah.
You fought like in the loading docks, in the locker room, in the parking garage, in a boiler room, never in a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, that's so stupid. You know, like, I don't know. I can't imagine why people are just defending it now. And that game, I've watched it online. There are so many glitches and everything. I can't imagine a game that has just problems with hit detection being able to sustain 30 wrestlers on the screen at once or, you know, in the general vicinity. And not having lag issues, not having glitches, not having complete system, you know, game crashes.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, the concept seems fun, especially for the you know, the modern audience that likes to play online in huge groups and like a Fortnite type of thing where, you know, people are going to just, you know, you do it, you do a couple runs and then you do something else or whatever. I can see the appeal of that. I can see that given the game legs to last longer. The problem is the game is so buggy, like you were saying, so buggy out of the box, and who knows if any of it's going to get fixed or when, and if ever, because I'm sure a lot of it is in the, like, the hardcore code of the game itself. Not only crashing, but just being able to play the game in any sort of sense in that mode, you know, yeah. Like, is it going to end up like Mega Man 2, like when there's too many enemies on the screen and everybody just kind of starts flashing and everything starts moving real slow? You know what I mean?
You
Like,
know, honestly, probably. I don't see why it wouldn't.
so I
Because
mean,
it's I don't know. I wanted to see if the game would be fun, but it really isn't. It just looks so glitchy. And
like I said,
I find it so weird that I know it's only a few weeks after the game came out. Maybe a month at the time, but you're releasing a new game mode. That to me just screams it was unfinished. I don't know.
Well,
It's still not $10 yet, so I'm not buying it.
yeah, well, that's what I said. I've got my reminder set on my calendar for exactly 3 months to the day that it came out. And we'll
Yeah.
go to GameStop and I'll buy it. I guarantee, I'm positive it will be $10. Probably, it might be 20. Maybe it'll be $20. You
All
know.
I know is the year 2020 what must have been a I don't know, just a huge mistake because that was game of the year in 2020 or 2021. 2022?
2022. It was last year.
Oh,
Yeah, it
was it
was
last year?
game of the year last year when it hadn't even come out.
I thought the 2 years had elapsed before the game came out. So, okay, it was 2022. There must have been no good games coming out last year if that somehow won before it came out.
Or, Tony had sent a bunch of wrestlers to put on a show there and they sponsored a bunch of events and the people at that particular convention named it Game of the Year because Tony kind of
You know,
asked them to.
I don't follow enough about the gaming industry to know what games, what awards mean anything. But I can tell you that in the practice of law, every so often I'll get a flyer in the mail from a random, supposed legal publication saying you can be nominated, you can be one of up and coming, the United States 50 up and coming lawyers making a small donation list, you will receive a plaque and a picture in a magazine. And I'm like, that's probably what happened. They probably were like, hey, Tony, you want to be game of the year? Well, just, sponsor us and we'll make you sports game of the year.
I've never even heard of the organization that named them Sports Game of the Year. So there you go. Of course, then again, I haven't really paid attention to anything since in gaming since Electronic Gaming Monthly was a physical magazine that you
Oh, I
bought in
used
the
to love
grocery
that
store.
game. I
So,
used to love that magazine.
I
That was my
got.
go-to. That and Game Players.
I had a subscription to it for a little while. That and Spin. Those were my two magazine subscriptions when I was in high school. But.
Really? Mine was the WCW magazine, WWE Raw, or the WWF Raw magazine, and I think it was Inside Wrestling. And
Nice.
for a while it was WOW, the one by Bill Apter that was like really weird. It
Yeah.
was like three times the size of a normal magazine.
But all right, so we got that. Anything else? AEW attendance and ticket sales in WrestleMania. I wanted to talk about this because I haven't gotten to talk to it. Of course, John Cena was at Money in the Bank and he talked about having WrestleMania in London. And then it came out that the WWE wants London to help pay for the cost of WrestleMania, having WrestleMania there. And of course, the AEW fans are getting were outraged. How dare WWE do this? Look at Tony Khan; she just come back. You know what I mean? And do all in there again. And it's like, look, I'm happy that AEW is doing the number they're doing at Wembley Stadium. Good for them. Kudos. That's great. AEW All In is not WrestleMania. WrestleMania is like a world. People come all over the world to come to WrestleMania. It's a week-long event. Like, yes, WrestleMania, the 2 days of WrestleMania, but you're going to get either a SmackDown before or a Raw afterwards, maybe both, happening in the
Definitely
same
both.
area. You know what I mean? You're
Yeah,
going
you get
to
the Hall of
get
Fame. You get a whole
the
sorry, I
Hall
didn't
of
mean to cut you off,
Fame.
but your whole
Yeah. There's the whole setup with the wrestlers, that are there all week signing autographs and the memorabilia and just all the stuff that accompanies WrestleMania is a huge tourist boom. They're going to make whatever they put in, they're going to make at least 10 to 50 times more that in revenue and taxes coming back in. So to compare the two is it's very apples and oranges. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's, I mean, I TNA Impact Wrestling sold out when it went to London. That was when it was at the, you know, with the Hogan era. It, you know, it's a company. How do I put it? United States wrestling has a very broad appeal, I think. And, you know, they're going to love, you know, London loves wrestling. You know, like the entire European area loves wrestling.
Yes.
They watch it. And they're never, you know, they haven't had AEW there before. Or, and then they haven't had WWE in a very long time there. So when you tour a place that you've never been to or you haven't been to in, you know, 5-10 years, you're going to attract a lot of people.
You open a new market that already has fans that are rabid for wrestling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, it's like I saw someone tweet this and I it has to be someone on my timeline.
Impact could go over there and fill an arena.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like doing one good show in a place that's starving for you doesn't mean you're succeeding when your main areas are struggling.
Yeah.
If you can't sell out in your home territory and you have to basically go to a different country to get a huge payday, that's not a great sign. It's not a bad sign. It's just not indicative of you doing, you know, swimmingly well at the moment.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, if they were to host an event in a stadium and get 80,000 people, then, yeah, I would say they're doing pretty good. They're getting, you know, they're getting momentum, and they're going to be the next WCW or, you know, or ECW, except like a real competitor to the WWE. But they're not. And, you know, one thing that I, like I want to, I don't see anyone really mentioning, and I haven't really thought this part through too much. You could argue that the success of AEW going to London would make London officials want to, like, you know, want to sponsor a WWE WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That they would want to pay those costs because, hey, if this upstart promotion with abysmal ratings and attendance figures in the States, you know, got 80,000 people for one night. What can the WWE do? What can they bring to my country?
Exactly.
And, you know, so
and we've already seen Clash at the Castle and Money in the Bank did amazing. Hell, they filled out that same arena twice. I mean, when was the last time you heard them say 16,000 people for a episode of SmackDown?
Never.
Right?
Like, very, I can't think of anyone. So I feel like this, I feel like, you know, if you look at the two European events that happened lately, if you look at the, you know, success of AEW doing, you know, selling that many tickets, you're basically saying that, I mean, because you'd have to be blind, deaf, and dumb to not think, to not realize that WWE is the premier company. And they're going to, you know, the officials will say, will look at that and say, look, we can do so much more with WWE come in. Imagine the financial impact it'll have coming here for an entire week.
Yep.
And they will, you know, they will shell out the money because the money they shell out will be a small fraction of what they will get back. So it's going to be a huge boost to the economy if they do it. And they now just have more evidence thanks to AEW that wrestling can, you know, a wrestling super show can thrive there.
Well, this kind of plays in to the next thing I wanted to talk about, because I'm about to do something that no AEW fan ever does. This is the proper way you handle this, AEW fans, if there's any of you out there. Because I like Collision. I really like it. I think it's a great show.
The fact that you like it makes me want to watch it. I'm being honest. I just wish I had time to watch it.
But it's doing shit in the ratings. Like, it just is. It's doing shit. Yeah. And that doesn't make me think that the ratings don't mean anything. It doesn't make me think that anything else. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses except for that it's on Saturday night. And Saturday night is just an abysmal night to try and get people to watch television because most of the people in your key demo aren't at home watching TV. However, it just makes me disappointed. It doesn't make me want to go attack WWE. It doesn't make me want to do anything else other than me like, man, I wish those ratings were better. I wish we could get more people to watch this show because it's really good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I never hear out of AEW fans' mouth. It's always complain and deflect and blame everything else and excuses. And it just can't be. That just kind of sucks. You know, like, what the? Sorry. That's just, it gets my goat. Right. Because I'm not seeing AEW fans say that. And that's kind of like, I'm a fan of the show, and yeah. I think it sucks it's not getting better ratings. Yeah. It sucks that people aren't watching it, because I think it's worth watching. But
and it's just, honestly, it's because of Saturday. I mean, you have effectively sold the show for me in the sense of I do want to see what this is about. I do want to see how well it's doing. And I would love to see, you know, actual wrestling as an alternative to what the WWE is putting out. But I just don't have time to watch it.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good this week. We're getting Punk and Joe in the at the main event. So CM Punk versus Samoa Joe, and FTR is going to go up against the Jay White and Juice Robinson and for a tag team title match. I'm like, God damn, like these are this is going to be a good match. So
you know what they should just do? And I know they're not going to do it because it requires a brand new branding. But they should just call it Ring of Honor. I mean, you literally have Punk versus Joe, which I know happened quite a few times in Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they were good matches.
Mm-hmm.
I know they were, you know, they just never had the TV audience. So the fact that they get to do it, I mean, granted, Punk's not the...
Punk's not what he was, and Joe isn't what he was. But they both know, unlike, you know, Jericho and Jeff Hardy... And Matt, they both know how to work around their shortcomings now to still deliver a good match.
Yeah.
They're not trying to wrestle like they did when they were, you know, 20, 25. Young guns.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're wrestling like they have to wrestle now, but they still, the both of them are good enough at psychology to put on a good match. And, you know, it's going to be entertaining. They're not going to leave anything. You know, they're not going to leave anything out unless they're going to do a series of matches. So there's that. Sorry, I'm plugging. I can't believe I'm plugging an AEW show. And I actually like CM Punk now. What the hell is wrong with me?
I don't know because I don't like CM Punk at all. But
anyway. Oh, I still think he's probably kind of a prick, but. As far as a wrestler goes, I definitely get it now. And he's got to be the one telling Tony Khan, like, being involved in the booking and telling Tony Khan or telling somebody no, because it's a stark difference between what the flow of the show, what the matches are, what they're doing in the matches, the finishes, everything is such a stark contrast on Saturday to everything that they do on Friday and Wednesday that there's got to be somebody else in there with Tony. This is not Tony Khan's booking 100%.
No.
You can tell.
No. I feel like Tony probably is doing what many people are doing and going out on a Saturday night, handing the reins over to someone else and be like, here, just do it. I don't care.
It's QT and Punk. That's what it is.
I can't give Punk that much credit.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I don't know who I know QT Marshall, but I don't know his,
maybe it's Jeff. Maybe it's Jeff Jarrett.
Well, if he makes himself world champion, sure. I'll believe it.
Ouch, poor Jeff.
I'm a big Jeff Jarrett, Mark. I am a huge fan of his. But even though I know he went a little booking crazy and Impact in TNA.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know what, though, honestly, if you think about it, I know this is getting off a tangent of a tangent.
Yes.
Well, he had no choice. Wrestlers would come and go in TNA so often. He needed stability, and you needed to build around someone who was going to be there for the long run, and that was him.
Well, and he was one of the top guys in the company, you
Yeah,
know, too.
I
You
mean, he
can't
was a
just.
name that came in there too. I mean, it wasn't like, he was a name from WCW and WWE, and he had to carry everything. I mean, because yeah, Ken Shamrock was the world champ, but so was a young Ron Killings, and that doesn't scream. He was not ready yet for that at that point. He was a great champion, but he was not ready for that. So I get why Jeff booked himself to be champion multiple times over.
Come see Ron Killings defend the NWA title doesn't scream main event.
No, especially when it's against guys like I don't know who he defended it against, because it wasn't even Shamrock. Shamrock left after one match.
Yeah, I don't remember who was there at that time, like,
Yeah.
'cause AJ wasn't even there, was he? Or he was still in
No, he was
the,
there. He was just in the X division. I mean, they gave him a few runs with the NWA title, but it was like, how do I put it? It was the equivalent of when David Flair won the US title. He got booked really badly to win it.
But anyway, yeah, but what were we even originally talking about? Punk and all the
Punk,
booking for
who's booking?
Collision. Yeah. Anyway, whoever it is that's in there doing it with them, I think kudos to them because you got me hooked on an AEW wrestling show. Well, an AEW show that happens to actually look and present itself as a professional wrestling show. So, thank you. Thank you for pushing Ricky Starks too, because he's actually winning matches and looks like somebody. I think that was about, oh, Roman got pinned.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened. That's a thing that happened. Got pinned. It was a dirty pin though. It wasn't completely clean because it took a nut shot and several super kicks to keep him down. So we still haven't seen him be pinned clean yet. So when Cody does that at Mania, it'll mean even more. Cody's still beating him at Mania. That's
Oh, yeah.
my projection.
Yeah, maybe even before that.
I can't really think
Don't
of
know.
too much else. Damian winning Money in the Bank was good.
I had a lot of people telling me it was gonna be Logan Paul, and I was laughing at them, and I should have. Some people were like, "Oh, I'll bet you $50 that he's winning." I should have taken that bet.
You know
I
what
should have taken that
though?
bet 10 times over, because there was no way in hell he was
See,
winning that match.
now this lets me know that you did not listen to the most recent episode of Back to the Ring that you weren't the co-host on. Because we had a long talk about Logan Paul, and actually the guy was talking, the co-host Luis went into the whole booking of how Logan Paul is winning, screwing LA Knight over to win, and then LA Knight chasing Logan Paul around, and every time Logan Paul goes to cash in, there's LA Knight stopping him, preventing him until he gets to the point where they have a match for the Money in the Bank contract. And I was like, damn, I think Logan Paul should win because that would make put LA
Yeah.
Knight even more over. But LA Knight's going to get over on his own. He doesn't
Oh
need
yeah.
Money in the Bank.
He
So,
will. But you know what though? I know, maybe you guys talked about it too, but the whole setup's been about Ricochet and Logan Paul. The only I mean, Logan's not an idiot. He knows his limitations, and he was getting verbally beat down by Knight 2 weeks in a
Oh,
row.
yeah.
You think he wants that? I'll go with the guy who, prior to this feud, his main claim to fame that I can remember, that maybe the average social media user knew, was that was a whole like, oh, he's bald kind of meme. So I mean, he's not Logan is not going to lose any verbal altercations with Ricochet, and they'll have a fun, flip crazy Cirque du Soleil match. But
The
that, you know, that was the build up.
biggest thing I could remember Ricochet doing really ever is getting kicked in the face while doing a backflip by Adam Cole.
Oh, see, mine is that Ricochet was living up to his name, where he got ricocheted into a Styles Clash. That was it.
Anyway.
That I mean, there's not much to that, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, Money in the Bank was good. There's not much. There was nothing truly noteworthy except.
Hey everybody, sorry about that little break there. We had a little technical difficulty and we got it straightened out. Now we're back. I can't even remember what we were talking about before our little break, but I think we've just about covered everything that happened in wrestling over the past week. So I think we're ready to start Survivor Series 2001. Are you ready?
I am.
Are you ready? Sorry, that's my best. I can't, I don't do a very good Triple H.
It was passable.
But anyway, so yeah, we are ready to do Survivor Series 2001. You can file this one under "We watched it, so you don't have to," because this was a chore. This one
Yeah.
was a chore, as they have all
Oh,
been as of late.
again, I reiterate, anytime we're in the Alliance era, invasion era, they really did WCW so dirty on this.
Yeah,
I
I
mean,
forget. Well, I've got a in the main event, I've got actually got a list that I want to go over talking about the people in the main event, but we'll start at the
sure.
very beginning. We get the WWE versus Alliance package. At the very beginning, we're in Greensboro, North Carolina. JR and Paul Heyman, and I don't know if JR and Paul Heyman really hate each other or if they were just playing it up. Or it was a little bit of both, but it got really almost uncomfortable to listen to at various points in this pay-per-view because Paul Heyman just was all over JR.
See, I was catching that too. What I think it is, I think Paul is really good at getting under people's skin, and JR is really bad at keeping his emotions out of the commentary. So when you put those two elements together, you had real reactions where maybe Paul was just doing playful jabs. I don't think he has any ill will towards, JR. But I think he was just making those jabs, talking over him, doing stuff to annoy Jim. That way, there would be this tension, this reaction. So I don't think it was planned. I think JR is this, actually irritated,
Yeah.
and it just made for good show.
I also and this is purely conjecture on my point, but at this time JR was head of talent relations.
Oh, yeah.
And if he was using people or not using people that Paul Heyman thought should be used, I'm sure Paul would not would not be quiet about that
I
in
agree.
the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, and since a lot of the ECW guys, well, I mean, at that point, they didn't really like Paul Heyman, and we'll get into that
No, I mean, I was gonna say
later.
that I don't think Paul had friends on the ECW faction.
But on the same note, I'm sure that there were talents that came in that he was like, this guy's being underutilized. And JR's like, well, well, Vince, I just, Paul seems like somebody who's going to say what he thinks, kind of not always in the most not always in the best way behind the scenes, maybe.
Yeah,
Anyway,
agreed.
and he kept talking about how JR already been fired from WWE twice, which every time he said it got a pop out of me because I was like, oh yeah, he had been fired twice. You already know what it's like to be fired from this company. Oh, anyway. All right, first match, probably the whole best match of the whole damn show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The opening match, Christian versus Al Snow for the European Championship. We get Teddy Long as the referee. Christian cuts a promo at the beginning, which is great. He's such a smug, smarmy heel. They started out mat wrestling. I wrote, they're still doing the brothers thing with Edge and Christian. Like, come on, seriously.
Yeah.
Al Snow made me think of Tony Khan because he had Snowman on his tights. Beautiful Russian leg sweep. I believe that was by, was that Snow or was that Christian that did the Russian leg sweep? I can't remember.
My recollection was Christian.
Okay, so beautiful Russian leg sweep by Christian. These two have great chemistry.
They really do.
I was like, God damn, like this is a really good match. Al Snow kept trying to come back, and Christian cut him off. Christian hit a move that wasn't the unprettier that JR called the unprettier.
I think it was the diving DDT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I like that one move Al Snow did where he did like an arm wrench, slid underneath Christian, and then held the arm and then still did a side suplex with it. I thought that was I'm sure I've seen it since then, obviously, but I just thought the way Al applied it was really smooth.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, Al Snow's a great worker. He
Really
always
is.
was. That's one of the that's he's another guy that like Vince just didn't get. He
Yep.
didn't get him, so he never got. I mean, I don't think should Al Snow be headlining Madison Square Garden? No. Should
No.
Al
But the
Snow
card.
maybe have been, US or European or Intercontinental champion at some point? Fuck yeah.
I think he was a few times, one
What
of
was
the
that?
belts. I think he was at least a European champion one or two times.
Well, there you go.
Can't remember if he won the Intercontinental, but I know he was European.
You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I feel like he could have been used better and longer,
Yeah.
and maybe if his gimmicks weren't so fucking that they didn't slap, because the gimmicks just they couldn't. He got
Yeah.
everything he could out of them,
Oh, yeah.
but they weren't good. I
Yeah.
mean, you come in as the new Rockers, and then you're carrying around a mannequin head, and
Which actually got him over a lot, so,
yeah. And then you're in the job squad. Well, he started a job squad, didn't he? I don't
Yeah, he
remember.
did. With
Okay.
Dwayne Gill and Too Cold.
And then we had oh yeah, then Christian was trash talking Al Snow, and Snow rolled him up for a two count. And then it really picked up. Like down towards the
Yeah.
finish, they were really picking it up. Lots of good counters, and then finally Christian hits the unprettier and wins. I gave it a B plus. I was like, it wasn't nothing. It wasn't groundbreaking, but it was very enjoyable. And then looking at back on the rest of the thing, I'm like, maybe I should have given it more. But a B
Yeah.
plus, I think, is good.
I mean, I gave it a B.
Okay.
I like there were parts of the match that I really enjoyed, like when Al went for the trapping headbutts the first time, he catches Christian and then he just gives this big, shit-eating grin, and it gets a pop from the crowd because you can see his face
Yeah.
like just light up, and then Christian reverses it and hits I forget what the suplex is called, but I guess it's a double arm suplex.
Yeah, the
I don't know.
double under the double arm, double underhook.
Yeah, it wasn't an underhook. I can't remember what the No Mercy Games called it, but it was like one of my favorite moves to put in the game. But and I can't remember it for the life of me, but I know when Snow would just do the same I guess initial move, he would then it would and to do the headbutts like which he eventually hits. They called it the trapping headbutts. So I want to say it's the trap suplex, but I don't think that's right.
Okay.
But it was a very enjoyable match. And it had a good pace, fast. It almost reminded me like I wrote in my notes, when I was watching this before I even saw the match, I was like, oh, why are these two like wrestling? Why are they opening the show? And I'm thinking back, oh, back in my, back when I used to really watch wrestling and back during this era, I was accustomed to cruiserweights, WCW cruiserweights, opening the match, Malenko, Benoit, Malenko, Mysterio, and even Alex Wright. But then I'm like, well, these two are putting a good match. I'm not saying they're the next, Malenko Billy Kidman match, but they're doing a style where it's very mat based, but also very fast paced, and I love this.
Yeah, and I think it shows. I think they were the right choice for the opening match, especially given this card, because it
Yeah.
was, like you said, it had a great pace. It was exciting and got people out of their seats. You know what I mean? It got you
Yeah.
interested, hooked you in. They told a little bit of a story, but it was nothing too. It didn't go too long or overstay its welcome.
No.
Yeah, so nice little piece of business by Christian and Al Snow there.
Yeah. On
Then,
paper, though, the next
yes.
match, I felt like if given the same amount of time, would have stole the show.
Yes.
But that didn't happen.
But then we go backstage, and we get a skit of the Alliance with Stone Cold Steve Austin talking about he's the they're questioning him, and he's like, I'm not going to turn on the Alliance. And then he kind of tells everybody to F off in the way Stone Cold can. I wrote he's gold here in this
Yeah.
little segment. Like, he's the only person who's really truly entertaining in this whole group of people.
What's
Not that
funny to me?
What's that?
There was a time where, I think Austin has talked about how he kind of regrets turning heel. But this character he did, where it's like the paranoid at the top, wanting to stay at the top. I almost want to call him a megalomaniac at this point. Was beautiful. It was a beautiful character. It may not have been the right move to do at the time. Maybe they shouldn't have turned him heel, but it was a good character. I don't care what he says. I enjoyed this era of Austin because then it led to the two man power. Was it before the two man power trip or after? No,
Oh, this
it was
was before
after.
because the two man
Before.
power trip was.
Yeah.
Was that after Sean came back?
Yes, I think. I don't know.
No,
I
it
know
wasn't
Jared.
because two
No.
man power trip was before their King of the Ring match.
Yeah.
I
Either
think.
way, I mean,
Anyway.
whether this create whether this came from the two man power trip or came from before, or
Yeah.
like led to it, it's just a great character. I really enjoyed it. I don't. I'm thoroughly miss a character like this, a paranoid world champion, a paranoid just star who wants to so desperately stay at the top.
And
It's
isn't, well, the thing about Stone Cold is he's kind of naturally funny, if that makes any sort of sense.
It does.
So it's more entertaining with him because that's kind of the character Roman's playing right now. Although he has right to be paranoid, but he was like that beforehand. That's the whole thing. Why the whole thing with Sami Zayn went south is because of Roman's paranoia. So,
It's a more subtle paranoia of
yes.
Roman. It's still there. It's not like it's slowly being brought out. And when it finally reaches the apex, it will be amazing.
But yeah, then we get let's see, Vince and Linda backstage. Michael Cole comes up with the frosty tips and Vince gives him a long speech. And then William Regal comes up and I forget what he says to him, but basically tells him to fuck off. He's like, I just wanted to tell you to your face. This was just Vince grandiosing, being Vince, being the Mr. McMahon character, it was what it was. And then the next match, and this is the one you were saying, would have, if this had gotten more time, this would have been match of the night. This could have, if this got a full 20 minutes, this could have been easily an AA plus match.
I mean, they were hitting each other. It's not, I don't want to say stiff, but they were just, I don't know, everything was on point in this match, and it just looked so good. Okay, put do the intro.
Oh no, you're fine. I didn't write down a lot of this match because I was just watching it, and frankly, I didn't write it down a lot for a lot of these matches because I'm trying
Same.
to not. I don't have to describe the whole match in detail, So this was William Regal versus Tajiri. Regal, of course, coming out with the power. Tajiri coming out with the quickness. Pretty early in the match, Tajiri uses the tarantula, which I've always hated that move because there's no way you can hold on to it more than 4 seconds. You know what I mean? I mean,
I
it
mean, there
looks
is a
cool.
way.
What was
There,
that?
I there is a way to hold on to it more than 4 seconds, and I mean, to me, this is a character work. All Tajiri would have to do is have him in the hold and start asking the ref, "Is it? Do I break at four? Or do you want me to keep? Or can I? Do I have to after?" And just keep have a conversation with the ref while he's holding it. It's a stupid little character move, and I don't think it would fit Tajiri, but that's how you can keep it going.
Well, yeah, as a heel, you could do that. As a baby face, you can't.
True.
And
But
Tajiri's obviously the baby
as the
face
baby
here.
face, he shouldn't be using that move.
Well, that's true, too. Other than he's already used it before, so you shouldn't necessarily change a lot of your style, whether you're a baby face or a heel, because the only difference should be your motivations.
True.
I broke good Clash of Styles type of match. Regal got a great bloody nose. It was like bleeding all over his face, which made him even look more like a fucking just downright nasty, dirty, good for nothing heel.
Downhill.
I wrote Tajiri's fun. I always liked Tajiri. I'm
Same.
not a huge fan of that style, but Tajiri's always been one of those guys I was like, man, I really like watching him wrestle.
It's a beautiful quickness. I mean, he really is a buzzsaw. He just knows how to strike so well and in a way that makes sense where he's just not slapping his thigh like crazy.
Well, and I think that's a large part of it is the fact that, yes, he can do the high flying stuff, but a large part of his offense is those kicks and strikes and at a fast pace to where, and it's not like, and I hate to say this, I know you're a huge AJ Styles fan, but when AJ does that sequence of punches
Oh, I
where he
hate that
just
punch
kind of
sequence.
slaps the guy like 6 times in a row, it looks
Yeah.
so phony.
It does. I hate that sequence. I mean, I'm more critical of AJ than I am of like a guy like Brad Armstrong, but I mean, I hate that sequence. I really do. I really hate sequences in general.
Like, I
Keep
don't
everything
like that.
fresh.
I
I don't need
don't
to
really like the
see that
one
move.
because Nakamura has something like that that he does too. That I'm just like, every time he does it, I roll my eyes. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You couldn't
Yep.
just punch the guy in the face.
Yeah, you don't
Whatever
need to hit
happened to
him
a good
54
old punch
different
in the
spots.
face? That's what Brad Armstrong would have done. He'd just punch somebody in the face
Exactly.
with a great looking punch.
Yeah.
Eventually, Regal gets the power bomb and the win. I thought the afterbirth was kind of needless, being that Regal had already won the match, and you know what I mean? Like, he didn't.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if they were trying to make Regal to be like this massive heel later on because it was like, okay, I get the double underhook, the Regal bomb to Tajiri after the match. You want to send a message.
Yeah.
But then he comes back when Tori's there. Did Tori miss her mark or something? Because I mean, it seems like silly to just go back to the ring twice.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, they made him look really impressive in that match. It wasn't like for a paper that could have been done on a Raw, but they really went all the way with him, and I'm like, what were they trying to accomplish here? Were they trying to make him like a top heel? And if
I
so,
don't.
great, because I love Regal. He
Yep.
should be a top heel. So I wasn't really sure what happened. And the only thing that I noted was that rope spot. Was that supposed to happen?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure about that spot.
Yeah, I mean, Tajiri could have been choked down, but I mean, he got caught. He saved himself really well.
Yeah.
But at the same, so I feel like. Like if that had been not planned, that's almost impossible to protect yourself with. Like, I mean, you got to catch it at the right time. If that was planned, it was almost needless and really went on in terms of how dangerous it
Yeah.
was. So I don't know. I mean, it was great for character work, but at the same time, it was like, what just happened? I can't tell if that was real or not because even Regal was laying into him a little bit before he backed off
Yeah.
until they could free him. So I was like, I don't know. I can't really figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but oh well, we'll just what he's talking about, folks, is Regal got hung up in the ropes, the top two ropes. That's
Tajiri.
the spot you're talking about, right?
Yeah, Tajiri got hung up on the ropes.
Oh yeah, Tajiri did. I'm sorry. So, yeah, I don't know.
By his neck.
Yeah. I think it might have been one of those, we're gonna try this. Which I know at a pay-per-view is not, the thing to try, but it I think because there because remember Brett used to get hung up by his head in the ropes occasionally.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but I think Tajiri might not have realized. I don't know. It might be a little bit of Tajiri. Maybe Tajiri just like at the last minute was like, oh shit, I don't really want to do this. And they had
Yeah.
to, figure out how to get out of it. But
Yeah.
either way, good match. Overall, I gave it a B.
Same. Actually, more I get a B minus because I was just mad I didn't have enough time.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, if this had gotten, and I think you could have, I know at least one match you could have completely gotten rid of on this card and made time for this match. And we'll get to that one in a bit. Let's
I think
see.
I know which one you're talking about.
Here we go. Next, we get a package on Test and Edge. Then we get Test backstage having oil rubbed on him, and he's berating the lady who's rubbing the oil on him. And then he's trying to get up on Stacy Keibler, and she touches his butt on the way out. And he's like, "Ugh, just stupid. This is the type of Vince stuff that I'm just like, ugh." This is that. That's the one thing you've said earlier that I was thinking about. At this point, I was like, "This is just like a really long episode of Raw."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's so much skits and backstage bullshit, and like, You know what I mean? Like, this is supposed to be a wrestling pay-per-view, not a fucking soap opera. But anyway, we get a promo from Edge. Edge is entertaining. Then we get the match, Test versus Edge for the IC and US title unification match. Let's see. They lock up, which was good. The lockup was good. The back and forth was great. Test really knows how to use those power moves. He was getting those over well. I wrote arm drop spot. Oh yeah, he got Edge in a I forget what the hold was he got Edge in. Was it a rear naked choke or a sleeper hold of some kind? And they did the arm drop spot, and of course Edge gets out of it, makes a comeback. There was a crossbody missed by Edge. But I just couldn't get in. I couldn't get into this one. You know what I mean? I was just having a hard time with it. I think it's because the Christian and Al Snow match and the William and Tajiri match were so good and so fast paced, and this one didn't really have that fast of a pace to it.
No, it was a very deliberate, methodical, I almost want to say sluggish match. It was all power moves. I mean, you had the typical like edge spear, edge, quick comebacks, I guess, spots, but it was more of a slow-paced match.
But let's see, spear by Test gets a two count. Pump handle slam by Test gets a two count. Spear by Edge gets a two count, and finally Edge wins with a roll up. Which again, I was like, really? Like, you couldn't have just had the guy win? But so.
I mean, I get why they did it, or at least I can guess why they did it. They didn't want to take anything off of Test too much, especially since he would go on to compete in another match that night.
Yeah,
I
that's
think I
true.
really think they were trying to protect a lot of the people who were WWE wrestlers who were thrown into the Alliance because they needed to create a story.
Well, at this point, the only person that isn't a. Well, no, because Tajiri wrestled in WWE before the Alliance was a thing. So far, none of the people who have wrestled for the side of the Alliance or have wrestled on this card at all were even in WCW. You know what I mean? Like, Tajiri was in ECW,
You
but.
literally had the first match was Christian versus Al Snow. Christian had never stepped foot in WCW.
Yeah.
Al Snow, to my knowledge, was never a WCW wrestler. I don't think he was even hired as a jobber there. I've
No,
seen pictures
he
of
came
Edge.
straight from Smoky Mountain.
So the first match in the WCW ECW versus WWE was a wrestler who ne we're against two wrestlers who never even stepped foot in WCW.
Yep.
So,
Yeah. Well, that's a theme that goes on.
I mean, if you want to count the preliminary match on Sunday Night Heat, you had where the Impact Players and Raven fought Too Cool, not Too Cool. It was whatever that tandem of Albert and Scotty Too Hotty were,
No.
plus Spike Dudley. I mean, I guess they technically were ECW wrestlers first and foremost.
Yeah, but the Dudleys had been in WWE for a minute.
Well, it was only Spike Dudley. It was Spike Dudley and
Oh, yeah.
Scotty and Albert. So, I mean, I don't know.
Anyway, we get Steph and Kurt in the back, and Steph's whining about how she'll have to be a regular person, blah, 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 which of course gets her some heat because, you know. She's basically talking about doing the things that all of us do. Then we get the Hardys and Lita backstage, and Matt's acting weird, which, guess what? That's never going to change.
Oh
He's still
my
acting
gosh.
weird. And then Trish comes out of the WWF locker room, and. I don't know. I don't know what that was with Trish and Lita. Were they trying to set up something where Matt was supposed to be cheating on Lita with Trish or making it look that way or.
I thought it was just supposed to be Matt was cheating in general because even with Lita and there was that spot where he catches Keebler and drops her because Lita looks at him funny, and it's like they were doing something. I don't remember too much about this period, and then and the, I wrote down this video package does nothing to explain why they're in a cage.
Oh,
So
yeah. Oh, for the match, the tag team unification cage match. Yeah, I wrote, can't either of these teams have a straight tag match?
And like, so like, I don't know what was going on with Matt and Lita at this time. I don't know what was going on with anybody. I just know we have the Dudleys versus the Hardys in a cage.
In
And you know, to answer your question, they probably could just have a straight match because up until maybe the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes, maybe, I can't really, I have a horrible concept of time. It was a straight up tag match.
Yeah, they were doing a
They
straight tag
didn't, they did
match.
not use the cage at all until maybe the last quarter of the
No,
match.
it was over half the match that they
Yeah,
used
before
the they
they.
were the, they were once all four people got in, nobody got back
Okay.
out.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, it took a while before the beginnings of it was a straight up tag match.
Yeah, which is what you're supposed to do when you have a tag team match in a steel cage.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be. I've seen several of them on in Crockett, Jim Crockett, NWA. Well, yeah, there was one on the Andersons versus the Rock and Roll Express at Starrcade. That was in the steel cage match, and they had a great tag match inside of a steel cage.
Yeah,
This
this was
was
just a brawl.
a basic tag team match that turned into a brawl because I was like, oh, well, they're gonna have a straight tag match. Cool. Yeah, that's why I wrote. Started as straight tag. Jeff wrestling in the ball cap. I was like, what the hell is that? Then he finally took it off. I was like, all right. They went on for a while. The Dudleys were getting heat on the Hardys. Finally, there was, what was it, a double knockdown that all four ended up coming in? There was a breakup. I forget what it was. I didn't write that down. There was an escape and a cutoff. Then I wrote, who's legal? And then when all four guys just refused to get, I was like, let the stunts begin.
And you were right.
There was a doomsday device by, was that the Hardys or
Dudley's.
the Dudley's? The doomsday device looked good.
It really did. I was very impressed by that, Matt, Devon's clothesline.
Let's see, Jeff rolls out of the way of both of the dives or the splashes. The Hardys start making a comeback. Hardy Matt getting hung from the top of the cage was pretty good. Then they brought out the table. And I was like, oh my God. And they had to do the whole thing with Stacy getting the key from the referee, who apparently had been infatuated with her or something. And she used to show him as her thong or some shit.
She just hiked her pants up or shorts up. Can I just say something though?
Yes.
She's actually, you know, I would have to watch all her managerial matches again, but she was a really good manager for this match. And I say that in the sense of she reacted. She was not just standing still. She was cheering on the Dudleys. She was pointing out, hey, Matt's trying to escape the cage. She was doing stuff out of the ring. She was doing everything a cornet manager would have done back in the early, no, like the 90s. You know, she was physically involved
She was
and she was
physically,
not, she was reacting to everything. She wasn't just standing there stone face like so many managers that you see today are doing when they're, you know, when they accompany someone to the ring.
No,
I don't know where she learned that from. I don't know if she always did that. I feel like she did because there was a lot of distractions she would do. But this was really good. And if you wanted to, if someone were to tell me today, oh, Keebler doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, I would point out, yeah, maybe she wasn't the greatest wrestler, but she knew how to work the crowd in her managerial role.
Yes.
And, you know, she could get, I mean, she wasn't, I won't say she could get a lot of heat, but she could definitely get a reaction. And she wasn't just there to stand still. She was fully involved in these matches.
The last thing she
And,
did was stand there and look pretty, which
yeah.
is exactly what she could have done, and people would still be looking at her,
Exactly.
you know.
No, she was
But
highly involved in all her matches. And I, you know, that alone is good enough for me to put her in the Hall of Fame.
I mean,
So.
you're absolutely right. She is a active manager who takes full advantage of every bit of screen time she's given.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be. That's the
Exactly.
way, and I hate this too. This is something that's become very common. When your tag team partner is in there, you should be living and dying by everything that happens to them, good or bad, in the
Yes.
match. You,
Don't have no reaction.
I
You're not
hate
planning
it
your
when
next spot.
people just stand there in their corner and just watch what's going on, and their tag partner's getting the absolute crap beat out of them, and they're just like, oh, okay, here, let me put my hand out. It's like, no, like, you should be screaming for them to give you the tag. You should be emotionally invested in what's happening to essentially what should be, you know, like your best friend or your quote unquote brother or whatever. Because when you're in a tag team, that kind of has to be the dynamic.
Yeah. And a lot of wrestlers, they don't do that. They're just planning the next spot. It looks like they're just sitting in the corner watching their teammates get pummeled and not even having a reaction. If my brother was in the ring and I saw him getting walloped by a guy, I'd be like, yep. I'd be like screaming for him. Hey, get over here. Something.
That's why I love it. And they've started doing this in WWE again, where the baby faces will like try and charge into the ring. You know what I mean? When the ref, like the heels will do something behind the ref's back, and the baby face will go to charge into the ring, and the ref will get caught up trying to get the baby face out of the ring. So the heels get even more heat. Like,
That's gotta be a Triple H move.
That's the way you do it, man. Like, that's like tag team wrestling 101, you know? Yeah. But, anyway, let's see. Here comes the furniture, the avoid the 3D through the table. Matt gets out of the cage.
Explain that to me.
What?
Why did he get out of the cage?
Why did Matt get out of the cage?
Yeah.
Well, they were both climbing to the top.
But why? But then why did the match not end? Especially
no, because
the
both
way...
people have to come out of the cage. I know it's
okay,
stupid.
But the ending was dumb.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump ahead. Can I jump ahead though?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so if one person gets out of the cage, that puts the team out of disadvantage, but all it takes then at that point is for the remaining team to pin the one person to win the match.
Mm-hmm.
So what if both men were still in the ring? Would you have to pin both to win the match?
No.
So then why would you leave? There is no reason to leave the cage. There is absolutely no reason to leave. Get the pin since the pins are still allowed. If you leave and your partner doesn't, you have effectively lost the match because there is no way your partner can withstand in a blood feud, which should be taking in the, which is, you know, it has to have, which is how it should be happening in a mat in the cage match. They're not going to let him to leave. I mean, look what the Undertaker and Kane did to Paige and Canyon.
Oh my God.
They pummeled him, and there were two people in that match. I think, no, cause they let Canyon leave.
Yeah.
So, that was that. I mean, here you've obviously there's some continuity you got to find. Follow Matt. You know what happens when you leave your brother alone.
Yep. Well, that could be said about Matt and Jeff Hardy out of the ring too.
True. I'm just like, what just happened? Why would you leave? And then it's like, okay. And then we get, you know, another Jeff is just a dumb spot where he has the chance to win. He has the chance to escape the cage, and what does he do? He swantons off the cage for no reason, misses Devon, knocks himself out, and they lose.
They lose. And then
– dumbest finish I've ever seen in my life.
And then if he had a back or a neck injury, they made it even worse by dragging him around the ring, the EMTs did.
Yeah. No, it was just –
sorry.
Russo wasn't there at the time, but that was a Russo finish. That was just it was so stupid because you have the chance to win. Why is he not taking it? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Was Russo not there? Had he left by 2001?
Oh yeah, because he was in WCW at that point.
There wasn't WCW at this point.
No, there wasn't. But after he left for WCW, he never went back to WWE.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so he went to TNA. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this made no sense to me. No. And, you know, I was enjoying the match. I was enjoying everything about that until the end when it made no sense. So I gave this match a D+ because the ending is just so infuriating. It doesn't have any logic. If you have both people there, Matt and Jeff in the ring, and Jeff goes to that move to try to do the kill shots.
Mm-hmm.
And misses and loses and pins, good ending. That makes sense. But if both of you have to leave and one person's already left, just leave the cage. They're down. Yep. Leave.
Yep. I know.
Leave and do what Regal did. Come back and do your high spot. Come back and hit them with the move.
Yeah.
Get the win. Your goal is to win.
Get the win. Let them open up the door. You don't have to climb back over the top. You can just walk in the door and do what.
Yeah.
But I mean, the party shouldn't be doing that anyway because they're supposed to be the
No.
baby faces. But
Yeah, very
I
dumb.
just this whole match, I don't particularly like either of these teams anyway. I don't think that that's a secret to anybody who knows me. I'm not a
Yeah.
ha fan of, I'm not a huge fan of the Hardys. I'm becoming a bigger fan of the Dudleys because I've seen them young and actually watching them actually work real
Yeah.
wrestling matches. I can see where, you know, these are guys who could actually wrestle at one point in time before they became a gimmick, like before they became basically get the tables.
Yeah.
So there were points in this thing that I liked, but overall as a match, I was like, this was just this was garbage. Like this was, I gave it a D plus because again, there were points that were good, but yeah, I'm with you. The ending was stupid. Jeff having to have his moment of glory was dumb. Matt going out of the cage and then not immediately when Jeff looked like he was going to come off the top rope, not starting to climb back up the cage. Or,
Yeah, that was another thing. Why couldn't he just go into the cage? There was nothing stopping him.
you know, he couldn't, like, I don't know. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. But there you have it. That was the match.
Garbage, pure
Yeah.
garbage.
Then we get a commercial for upcoming Raw and SmackDown episodes, which I was like, really? Like in the middle of the pay-per-view, you're just gonna, this is where we're gonna be. Then Mick Foley's in New York for whatever reason. They didn't really say. He didn't look too happy about it. And of course, didn't seem happy about it on the little VTR little interview thing.
Yeah.
Then Scotty Two Hotties coming through the back and gets attacked by Test because Scotty's in this upcoming Battle Royal. And that was next. The Battle Royal where the winner could not get fired for a year.
This pissed me off so much.
I've the first thing I wrote was, who the fuck cares about this? Why is this on this show? Why couldn't this be on Raw? Why couldn't you give this time to William Regal and Tajiri?
Exactly. But you know what? You know what makes me even, you know what really I hate about this match?
What's that?
It was an afterthought. And what I mean is, nobody got an individual entrance. I mean, even today, WWE will, if they have a battle royal, like just a random battle royal, they'll give two or three main event stars who are, somehow thrown in these matches a full entrance, and then they'll trot out the rest of the team, the rest of
Well, usually
the
they'll come back from break
competitors.
and most of the people already be in there
Yeah.
in the last
Instead,
three, yeah.
here's all the alliance. Here's all WWE. Go at it. And then what made me so angry? You look at the competitors. Not one of them, except Taz, was a and maybe Tommy and Tommy Dreamer were champions, but you have Diamond Dallas Page in there, who had just come off his feud. And let's be honest, it was a main event feud. It was not treated like a main event feud because he was always on the losing end. But you have him in this battle royal, where the person he had been feuding with the entire time this invasion happened is in the main event. You couldn't add him? It
Look.
just makes sense. He is a three-time WCW champion at this point,
Well, look,
and he
I
is fighting
okay.
for his job. You throw him in that Undertaker match, I don't care that he just got his ass beat three times.
Look.
That's how you, that was the feud you created. He needs to be in there. Take out Shane McMahon. Put in DDP there. It at least adds credibility to this match.
Well, they wouldn't. That's a whole other can of worms there. Look. First thing I want to ask, were Taz and Paul Heyman in a program? Because that's pretty much all Taz does is come out, yell at Paul Heyman, and then get eliminated.
Not to
Right?
my remember, not to my knowledge. I
So,
don't remember them being in that.
yeah. I don't know what that was about. Taz just coming out. Of course, again, Taz being made to look like an idiot. He's only had two feuds as far as we know, and both of them have been with fucking commentators. So
Yep.
Then the thing that pissed me off, okay, DDP being in it, I was like, all right. DDP getting eliminated was a complete non-event. They didn't even say anything about it on commentary when it happened. And then they
Exactly.
showed a clip of it like 2 minutes after it fucking happened, and that's it. And I was
Yeah.
like, this is DD like this is like what this was the guy. It this is the guy who beat Bill Goldberg.
This is the guy who helped lead a resurgence of 83 weeks over, the WWE. This is a guy who was literally described as the people's champion for WCW. He was WCW's Rock in that regard. And you treated him like a piece of garbage. And none of it made sense. And this is to me doesn't even get a grade because it was just garbage. And who wins? A WWE wrestler
Well, look,
for the Alliance.
listen to the last guys that were in the final four test WWE guy. Billy Gunn, WWE guy.
WWE guy.
JBL, WWE guy, and Lance Storm. So, yeah,
Good
again.
for Lance Storm for staying there that long. I mean, the one thing I did note is Lance Storm has some great punches.
Oh, yeah.
And that was it. That was the only thing I could take away from this match because when I saw DDP as a competitor, I had forgotten about this. I might have blocked out this trauma from years ago. But when I saw DDP out there, I'm like, he was available and you put him there. I'm not saying DDP is the best worker in the world, but he isn't, like to me, when you look at when you do a 5-on-5 Survivor Series match and you're making it a main event, you pair feuds. You had The Rock and Booker T. You had Steve Austin and I guess Kurt, for some reason he was feuding with Kurt Angle, but Rob Van Dam, Jericho, Booker T. I think it was Kane at that point. I don't Booker T. Maybe been The Rock. I don't remember who was feuding, but you pair them all up.
Well,
Undertaker
I've got
should have
some
been paired with
analysis
DDP.
on that I want to go through at the beginning of this. So
Okay,
hold your hold on to that one.
we'll stop on that one.
Okay.
But
Then we get a thing with Booker T and Shane in the back. Booker saying he doesn't trust Stone Cold. Shane says he does, and then you've got to trust me that I trust him. Anyway. Then we get this here's another match that could completely have been taken off of this. Well, no. I wouldn't have taken this off of this card. I would have made this a fatal four-way.
not a six
Without
pack
the
challenge.
tag stipulation, because this was just awful. And it's not because the people in the match can't work, because pretty much everybody in this match can work. You know what I mean? Like, this is
It was the
actually like
concept.
a killer's row of great women's wrestlers, and it
It's a
was
freaking
stupid. It was
concept.
a it's, okay. So if this was what was then called a six-pack challenge, where it's basically a tag match where four of the people have to stand outside in the corner where two of the people wrestle, but anybody can tag in or out to anybody else at any time, which is just blatantly just stupid. I'm glad Cornette wasn't there at this time because he would have had a goddamn aneurysm, somebody trying to explain this shit to him. And it was Trish versus Jacqueline versus Lita versus Ivory versus Molly Holly versus Jazz. And we'd never seen Jazz before. Guess what? Guess who doesn't win? The person that we've never seen before that can actually wrestle circles around probably half of the other girls in there.
Terrible
So,
booking.
yeah, chaos match. Trish wins. And I was like, I wrote, it's a shame this wasn't better. I gave it a D minus just because there were some good wrestling spots in it, but for the most part, it got way too little time and they couldn't really do anything with it. Get rid of the battle royal, split the leftover time between a fatal four way for the girls and the William Regal match.
Or take some time off from the main event. I mean, you didn't
Oh,
need to go
God,
almost
an
45
hour
minutes.
long fucking main event.
Well, the match itself was about 45 minutes, I think,
Well,
with
we
the
could
entrance and
also
everything.
get rid of about half of Vince's fucking speech that he gave backstage.
That was needless, stupid, and a waste of time.
Plus, having Jericho standing there with all those other guys just made him look tiny. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
Like,
he wouldn't have that problem today.
he's standing there between the Undertaker and The Rock, and he doesn't come up to either guy's shoulders. It's just like, good Lord, man. Yeah, they went on way too long. So here's our main event. Okay,
Okay,
so
I
we
want to hear
get.
every single detail about this because I want to know what exactly what you're thinking because this was It was just hard to watch.
Well, here, I'm going to give my little analysis about it here, and you tell me what you think before we really get started here.
Okay.
So it's we get a package on it. For the Alliance side, we have Stone Cold Steve Austin, Booker T, Shane McMahon, Kurt Angle, and RVD versus for the WWF side, Undertaker, Kane, Chris Jericho, Big Show, and The Rock. All right. Now let's take a look at the guys in this match. All right. Let's start with the WWF guys, WWE guys. We got Big Show, a literal giant, like literally a giant. Kane, a main event, quote unquote, giant. Undertaker, main event top guy since he's been there for 10 years. The Rock, the top guy in the company besides Stone Cold Steve Austin. And we got Jericho. I don't really know why Jericho's here, to be honest with you, other than, other than
Well, they're building him up.
he can work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the other side, we have Shane, who is a WWF guy that's not even really a wrestler.
No.
You got Booker T, who has been cut off at the knees the entire time he's been here and made to look like an idiot. And the last pay-per-view we watched, he lost because he did a spin-a-rooney. We got
Into a rock bottom.
RVD, who, and I love RVD. I do. He's one of my all-time favorites, especially
Same.
from around this area. I think he's just great. But let's be honest, he's a mid-card guy. Like, he is. Especially
Yeah.
now he's been presented as nothing but a mid-card guy because he's done feuds with mid-card guys. So we have three guys who have been made to look like shit or underneath guys or not wrestlers, and two top guys, Angle and Austin are top guys, against three giants, the top guy in the industry, and Chris Jericho. Like, this was never supposed to look like, this doesn't even look on paper like a competitive match at all. If you really look at it, like,
Agreed.
you know what
That's
I
why
mean?
you
It's
add
not set up to
DDP.
look that way.
You at least get DDP in there.
But Vince doesn't want that. He didn't want WCW to look strong. He didn't want the Alliance guys to look strong. He wanted the WWF to run over. You see what I'm saying?
I know. I understand completely what you're saying. I'm it ha That's how it happened. That's how it played out. But if you're looking at this from a logical standpoint, it made no sense to begin with. I mean,
No.
this shouldn't have been a thing. I don't know what, like, I want to be a millionaire someday where I can just take money and throw it around like it's nothing, because that's effectively what he did. I forget how much he paid. I know it was pennies on the dollar for WCW, but you literally bought it just to desecrate it. I want to be able to use that to frivolous spend like that one day, because I can't justify doing that. I could never justify doing anything with my money that would just be like trashing something. And yet here he decided to dedicate not one pay-per-view, not two pay-per-views, but what was it? Just 3 full months, 4 full months dedicated to this stupid angle where there was never any conflict, because anytime the Alliance tried to do something, WWE would squash it.
Well, and
There was no
half the
momentum at
guys of
all.
the Alliance that were made to look good were WWE guys anyway.
Yeah.
Like, who was in the Alliance that wasn't a W DDP? Lance Storm. DDP's been made to look like an idiot the whole time. I mean, he was had a feud because he was obsessed with the Undertaker's wife, which is just freaking retarded. And
Well, in that respect, I watched the promo again. It wasn't that he was obsessed with Sarah. It was he wanted to get in the head of the Undertaker, because he said, when you come into a new territory, you find the biggest dog and you kick the I'm mixing metaphors here. You find the biggest dog and you punch him in the face.
yeah.
And
Okay.
that's what he did. So he wanted to play mind games. The problem is, either you like how do I put it? Even AJ had a competitive match in the Boneyard match against DDP, and he did the same mind game, BS stuff. There was never, I mean, D he basically made DDP look like a fool. That's the nicest word I can use to describe this match. to describe every encounter. But if you didn't devalue him, you throw him in this match and it at least looks competitive. And it looks like, to future shareholders, when you decide to go public, that you're not a petty son of a bitch.
Well, we
I'm
already
sorry,
know that.
this entire this I'm so thankful that we're going to be able to get past this WCW experiment in WWE right now, because this entire growing up watching WCW and watching how they took everybody. And I know, it's I know there will be some apologists who say, well, they didn't have the rights to Sting or Nash or Hall. Bullshit. 'Cause a few months later, you bring in Ric Flair. I mean, the next night, I think you bring in Ric Flair. You bring in the NWO later that year. You bring in Goldberg. You court Scott
Well,
Steiner in a stupid angle.
to be fair, you bring in Goldberg and then make him look like shit too.
Oh, but he still won the championship. I mean, he beat, the only time he really looked stupid was, I mean, he came out of the feud with Triple H a winner. He
Yeah.
beat Triple H. It's not like he lost Triple H two or three times, like Scott Steiner, who couldn't even get a win over him.
Or
I mean,
freaking Booker T, who had a anyway.
yeah, no, I know. I mean, like, so they deliberately sabotaged WCW, and I will, like, there's, if Vince really wanted to, he would have shelled out the money for them.
It's one of those things you'll never forgive, just like I'll never forgive Vince for the Montreal screw job or
Yeah.
for sports entertainment and admitting that wrestling is a worked event, because he
Yeah.
essentially killed kayfabe with those two things.
Yeah.
Cornette, I'll forgive because I don't think Cornette ever thought that Vince would actually screw Bret Hart over. But and I
Yeah.
also Bret's got to blame for that too, because he's the one who went to the fucking media about it. You know what I mean?
True.
You
True.
know, Vince didn't go to the media, Bret did, but you know,
Yeah.
it is what it is. Let's get into the match here.
God.
I
Forgot
wrote
about
there's
that.
no heels in this match. Because there isn't. There's literally none of these guys are really heels. You know, Stone
No.
Cold's supposed to be a heel, but everybody still cheers him because he's fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, Shane, I
Yeah.
guess, is the closest thing you have to a heel, really. You know, Booker's supposed to be a heel, but he's so ineffective, who cares? And everybody loves RVD. And Kurt Angle was, up until very recently, the baby face on the WWF side. So anyway, RVD versus Jericho was really good. I love the spot where Kurt Angle suplexed Kane, and I wrote Chad Gable. I was like, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote poor Booker because he was just getting the absolute shit beat out of him by the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Shane was the MVP of the early part of the match because he broke up all the pins. I got a second fucking old school from Undertaker. And then I wrote, Undertaker's not selling anything. Like, literally, no sold everything that was thrown at him this whole match.
You want to know something?
Yes.
And this is purely conjecture. I feel like Undertaker has so much respect for the business that he must have been told by Vince, don't sell a damn thing.
That had to be it.
Because
Because
this man would do anything for Vince, but I also know that he has so much respect for wrestling that he would never have done this himself. It was just not something he would do. He had to have been given direct orders from Vince. And I know that's conjecture. I'll never be able to prove it. I'll never meet Vince to ask him or talk to the Undertaker to ask him, but that's
Well,
the only
even if you
way it
did
makes
talk to the
sense.
Undertaker, that would probably be the last thing on your mind, would be asking him about the Survivor Series 2001
Oh,
elimination
you know what? No,
match.
I would, because I was so pissed at how they treated WCW that, yeah, I would spend the $500 to meet him and be like, hey, why did you no sell for everybody?
And
I
then
would ask that. I would have no problem asking that.
I wrote Big Show selling more than the Undertaker, which okay, then Big Show gets eliminated. Then Shane gets beaten to a pulp by the Undertaker, and Shane gets eliminated. Then Kane no sells a splash. Chaos ensues. Kane gets eliminated. And then Undertaker just beats the crap out of everybody in the middle of the ring. Like, he had everybody in, what was it? It was
he had a guy in each corner of the damn ring at one point, and was just going around beating him. Just so stupid. I wrote yawn. Taker finally gets eliminated. It's The Rock and Jericho alone. Booker gets eliminated by a freaking roll-up. Again, Booker T, thanks for coming. RVD gets eliminated by the stroke / skull crushing finale. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That's what Jericho used. I was like,
that's what Jericho was using for a while.
Angle.
I think he called it the breakdown.
What was that?
I think he called it the breakdown.
Oh, geez. That's an even worse name than skull crushing finale.
Yeah.
Actually, at least skull crushing finale has something to do with Miz's A-lister gimmick thing. Anyway, Angle and Y2K and Jericho was really good. Like, I was really enjoying them wrestle. And then I wrote three WWF guys in the final four of the invasion angle. ... Mm-hmm. Yep.
Four, if you really count it too.
You know, and then I was like, this would be good heat if any of these guys were heels, because they were, I forget who they were working. Oh, they were working over Jericho. Yeah. I was like, man, this would, like, if any of these guys were really heels, this would be, they'd be getting some great heat here, but because it's Austin and Kurt Angle, nobody's going to boo them. Hot tag to The Rock, and they made Kurt Angle tap. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I was like,
the only submission of the night in any match, and it's Kurt Angle tapping.
Fucking Angle. Of course, we find out why Kurt Angle tagged later, but that still doesn't get the image of him tapping out.
No.
Out of your head. Austin and Jericho. Jericho gets eliminated. Then we get Rock and Austin. Jericho double crosses Rock and hits him with he hit the rock bottom on him, right?
I think so.
Yeah. We start getting Rocky chants. Then they go to the outside and they stay outside forever. Stone Cold Steve Austin gets the belt, but then he eats a stunner. Then Nick Patrick comes out, but he gets taken down, and Earl Hebner gets taken down. So both referees are taken down, and then Angle comes out and hits Austin in the head with the belt, and The Rock wins. And I'm like, didn't we just see this finish, like a variation of this finish at fucking SummerSlam with Kurt Angle and Stone Cold?
Yep.
I gave it a C. I gave it a C because there were some, because basically Jericho, I hate to say this, but Jericho saved the match. He was the only guy that actually worked a wrestling match with anybody else in the ring.
Yeah. I don't know. I gave it a D.
Yeah.
And it might just be because I'm bitter. Mm-hmm. It was just, I don't even know how to explain myself at this point. All I know is only three people didn't get a pinfall. And of the three, only one didn't get made to look like a star.
Yep.
And those three were Kane, Undertaker, and Booker T. Yet, I remember a sequence where Undertaker is completely like cleaning house. I remember a sequence where Kane is looking like a monster. The only thing I remember about Booker T is he, got his butt handed to him by anybody he was across the ring from.
Yeah, he basically got the crap beat out of him.
Yeah.
The entire time he was in the ring, he hardly got any offense.
When Shane McMahon gets offense and gets an elimination, and you don't,
mm-hmm.
That's horrible. I mean, kudos to Booker for sticking it through and powering through all this to become King Booker and finally win a championship. But if I'm him and I'm living that nightmare, I'm thinking to myself, where am I going after this? Who's going to hire me?
Yep.
My entire stock has fallen so much. I mean, this was a guy that fans in WCW wanted to win the WCW championship. This is a guy who, who had already survived GI Bro and a feud over the letter T. Mm-hmm. And you're going to basically hand them to, like, just completely reboot the character because you've annihilated any credibility he had.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, good for DDP for not being in this match.
Yeah.
But oh my god.
Well, see, that's
you know.
oh, and here's another thing. Like, there's a couple other guys that weren't I didn't see even in the freaking the Battle Royal. Where's Rhino? Where's Canyon? You know what I mean? Like, where's some of these other guys that were, I mean, not big names in WCW but or ECW, but at least like, you know, mid-card names. Like, why couldn't Chris Canyon and Rhino been in the final four of that thing, Battle Royal, if you're going to have it, instead of, I don't know, maybe Lance Storm and Billy Gunn?
Yeah.
You know? I understand JBL being in the last four because JBL's fucking JBL.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, and Ron Simmons got eliminated really early in that one, too. Anyway, overall, I gave this a D+.
I gave it a D.
A D.
Because when your best match is Al freaking Snow versus Christian, and the only match that actually made sense with the finish and everything, you can't be a good show. No disrespect to them, but they are not the two people that you would carry a show with.
Yeah,
I know. I know I'm bitter. I know I'm very bitter about this, but yeah,
I'm glad it's over.
Me too.
I feel like this is a little therapeutic for you.
Oh, it was. It was. I got it all out. I got my all my trauma out. I'm sure there's more that I could have watched if we watched more of, you know, if we watched the Raw and SmackDowns leading up to it. Oh, okay. You know what? One thing I wanted to comment about the Survivor Series match.
Okay.
So they always show this on TikTok and like YouTube. It's like the best ending to a SmackDown ever, where they have Shane running in, hitting Kane with a chair, and then Angle giving an Angle Slam to Rock, to the Rock, Steve Austin hitting his finisher, RVD hitting the 5-star frog splash. And it's all in anticipation to this big match, the winner take all 5-on-5 Survivor Series, yeah, right? Yeah. You know who doesn't get his finish in?
Booker.
Booker. He gets hit with two finishers, but he does not hit the bookend. He does not hit the axe kick. He gets knocked down. I can't think by the Rock Bottom at one point. I can't remember all the moves that he gets hit with, but he gets hit. He does not stand tall at all. He does not have a moment to shine. He gets annihilated and never get. Kurt Angle comes in and gets two Angle Slams. Booker can't even get one. They had it out for him, and it you know, like, and when you watch that, it's like, yeah, it makes sense that he was completely overshadowed in the Survivor Series match. He wasn't even a thought when they were doing that ending for SmackDown the days leading up to this pay-per-view,
the Thursday before
the Friday before, whenever they aired
it
SmackDown
was Thursday. Talked about it earlier in the show, yeah.
Okay. So, like, it makes sense that he was poorly used here because they couldn't even give him a finish. Everybody got to hit their finisher. I mean, RVD got two moves, too. He got like, an axe spin kick, and then was still able to hit the 5-star.
Yep. I mean,
that irritated me.
Yeah. Oh, no, I got you. Like, it's...
Okay, now I think I'm done. Now I think it was completely cathartic, and I'm trauma-free now with this invasion angle.
We're ready to
move on. That was the last point. Yeah.
We're ready to move on to WCW next week.
Yep, 22 years later, I can finally move on.
Yeah. Well, you'll move on until the next time we bring it up, which, you know.
Never.
And then it'll
never
start all over again.
We're never talking about this again. We're moving on completely.
I'm going to bring it up every possible chance I get. So, like in the invasion angle.
Oh, God. This is my nightmare.
You remember that time Booker T got the crap beat out of him by The Rock?
Yes.
when Undertaker basically no-sold every bit of offense that Booker T gave him?
Yeah. It's stupid naive me thinking that WCW had a chance.
I know.
That's on me. Yeah. That is on me.
Goddamn, pal. Where's my egg? Anyway, all right. Well, that was it. That's it, folks. That's it for this week. We are getting out of here. It is we've gone on long enough.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, everyone, you can find us at Back to the Ring on Twitter. You can find Rob at The Real Pinoy Rob. And also, don't forget that we are brought to you by the LWF, the only, the best in eFed wrestling. Find us. excuse me, I'm sorry, folks. Find us on YouTube at just search LWF or Legends Wrestling Federation, and you'll find us there. Also, our special sponsor this week and every week is Rob's Law Firm. Rob, you want to go ahead and give us that that Twitter handle there?
I would love to if I could remember it. It's I think I changed it again. Let me pull it up real quick. It is the defendant's attorney.
The defendant's
attorney.
The defendant's attorney. You can find Rob if you are in the state of Florida and you need help. If you, what is it? What did you say? You work with Bodley with landlord and tenant disputes.
Landlord tenant disputes and probate issues.
Probate issues and contracts. So there you go. If you have any problems with any of those things and you are in the state of Florida, find Rob, get a hold of him. He is a wonderful human being. I rib him a bunch, but he's a wonderful human being and a great co-host. And I hope some of our listeners have. Well, I hope that our listeners don't have legal trouble. Hold on.
Yeah, I hope so. Let's be very careful how we phrase this.
If our listeners happen to know anyone who has legal issues, that they can get in touch with you. And that you could work with them and get them the best that they can, or give them the help that they need. I don't know how to phrase it. I'm not a lawyer. Anyway,
we're gonna have to script this ending from now on.
Yeah, we're gonna have to script this out. Anyway, you guys have a great one. Don't forget to look us up on Twitter at Back to the Ring, and we will be back next week with a brand new episode of WCW from the first week of February 1987. I am looking forward to being back in the warm, warm embrace of Jim Crockett Promotions and the Midnight Express and Barry Windham and Lex Luger. You have no idea. The entire time I was doing this review of this thing, I was like, oh, I can't wait to listen to Tully and JJ give a fucking promo.
Me too.
So
especially for this week.
There you go. You guys have a great one. And in the words of our good friend Arn Anderson, it's been your pleasure. So long.